Welcome back to Three Amigos MMA Podcast. I'm Alan, here with Leo and Eric, and we're going to go through our 2017 Awards of the Year. So many great categories to talk about in this episode. We've got the Women's and Men's Fighter of the Year. We've got the Fight of the Year. We're going to go through the KO and Submission of the Year, and also our thoughts on the Rising Star of the Year. So now we are going to get into the prestigious Three Amigos Awards of 2017, boys. I mean, a lot's happened this year. Loads to talk about. So many different categories we've picked. So we hope you have fun listening to this. And you ready to do this, guys?
Yeah, let's do it. 2017.
Okay, so we are going to start with the Fighter of the Year. It's a big award to give out, this one, and we will each pick for men and women.
Yeah, and before we do that, just to mention that there were 8 UFC fighters on the roster that actually had 3 victories in 2017, which is really impressive.
Yeah,
yeah, Ozdemir beating OSP Manuel and Sirkunov. We had Paulo Costa Bojacinha with 3 KOs, which are really impressive.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, Thiago Mejia Santos equaling that with 3 KOs. Very impressive. Rafael Dos Anjos had an impressive year with 3 victories, moving up the welterweight. As well as OSP. He had 3 stoppages, 2 submissions, and a knockout. Darren Till, an emerging figure, 3 victories. Ponce Nibio, and number 8. Remember the name Bilal Muhammad.
Remember the name.
So shout out to them.
Well, we won't forget it now. Definitely, man, it's really hard to win, to fight 3 times, let alone win 3 times.
Yeah.
So
been a busy year for some people.
Yeah, definitely respect to all of those fighters. And so we'll get into... Let's start with the woman. Let's show the woman some respect, and let's go with that first. Woman Fighter of the Year. The big one has got to be Rose Namajunas.
Definitely one that stood out, really rose up this year. Became like an elite fighter, got better every fight.
Yeah, man.
And managed to beat the unbeatable JJ.
Shocking, isn't it? It was such a great fight, like, you know.
Yeah, that was one of the fights of the year.
Yeah, man. Really happy for her. She's such a nice girl as well, you know. You can see she just, there's no smack talk, you know, she just gets on with it.
Yeah.
And put her head down and did what no one really gave her a chance to do, like, you know. I actually thought she had a chance going into it.
Yeah.
But it was really unexpected the way it happened, the big knockout. I mean, Eric, it was nuts, right?
Oh, man, I absolutely agree with you. I said before that fight that I wouldn't be surprised if Rose won, even though I was going for JJ and I thought JJ would win. But I was gobsmacked by the way it happened, man. She looked technically the better striker, and the knockout in the first round was... It's just so impressive. It was awesome.
Insane, man. Insane.
That's right.
She's got to be in the running. another one I want to talk about, Amanda Nunes. And there's a lot of big fights to be made now, you know, like there's potential of her versus Cyborg down the line, maybe one day.
Possible. But I don't know, I was a little bit let down by Nunes, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Against Shevchenko, I thought that was a little bit of a slow fight for
me. It was.
Although, you know, Nunes before that was very impressive, but I think that slowed me down and probably knocked her below in terms of the rankings for women for me.
Yeah.
But you touched on Chris Cyborg there, and she had an amazing year coming into UFC, beating everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So really impressive. You know, she definitely worth mention, and, you know, she's the person to beat in the women's divisions at the moment, isn't she?
Definitely, man. She's so one-sided. I mean, even the Holly fight, it's just amazing to see, you know. She actually took a few shots in that fight.
Yeah, that was a good fight. You know, Holly Holm is a great fighter as well. She's had a good year.
Yeah.
But Chris Cyborg came out on top there and ruined the year for Holly Holm.
Yeah, man. She looks unbeatable. Like, yeah. Really does.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, those two, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I disagree with you, Leahy, big time, man, because Amanda Nunes had an amazing 2016, but in 2017, I don't think she was all that good. She defended a title with Shevchenko, but it was a bit of a snooze fest. I agree half with Leo in the fact that that Nunes wasn't that impressive, but Cyborg, I don't think she deserves a mention. I think she deserves to win, because she was my woman of the year.
Cyborg.
Finally getting that belt was a big moment for me, man. She's the champ, man. She'd been the champ for years, but without the belt in the UFC. And to finally get that belt, and then to defend it so impressively against Holly Holm, where she really just blasted her out of there, and just showed that she's by far the better fighter, I just thought was quality and long overdue. So I was happy for Chrissy Cyborg.
Yeah, man, definitely. Me too, man. It was great to see.
Yeah.
You know, I had my doubts about her when she came in, if she was going to, like, piss dirty sometime and get caught. But I'll admit it, like, I'm on board now, the Cyborg train, and like, I really like her as a person as well, man. I think she's awesome.
She is really cool, isn't she? She's really nice, man. She's got a lot of spunk about her, if you get my meaning, man. Like, in her interviews and stuff, she ain't afraid to rub Dana White up the wrong way and play hardball on business negotiations. So fair play to her, so she should.
Yeah, man. She knows she's the strongest woman in the world, man. She's the toughest.
She's got her weight class now, right? You know, it seems so far. So, yeah, great year for her. But, I mean, me officially, I'm going to pick Rose as the fighter of the year.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to second that as well, as Rose, because she was so strong and it was a great end to the year for her. You know, she snatched it right at the end of the year as well and had great fights with Karate Hottie along the way. That was a great fight.
That was awesome, yeah.
And then amazing. That submission was brilliant.
And to beat JJ in that fashion, it shocked everyone. You know, I was so, like, you know, respectful of that performance and how well she's improved with every single fight throughout the year.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, definitely Rose for me.
And for me, I just feel she's had the harder competition than Cyborg. That's why I picked
definitely,
Rose.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah.
The male fighter of the year. A few more to choose from in this category, obviously.
Yeah.
So should I just throw out a few mentions?
Yeah, throw us out.
So we have Ozdemir. Made himself the number one contender, like, from out of nowhere.
Man, the way he knocked out Jimmy Manuel was insane.
Insane. Like, absolutely
disrespectful,
insane.
Isn't it?
Oh, my God. To walk through someone like that is unbelievable, man.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, he's going from strength to strength. He's had a great year. Another person, Rafael Dos Anjos, who, for me, came back from the brink of death. Like, it felt like he was on the downward spiral a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's come back, he's had some great wins, beating Robbie Lawler, that was insane, just pounding him up against the cage.
Yeah, beating Robbie Lawler is huge, man, and that was a good win for him.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and it's so impressive the way he's taken to the new division, do you know what I mean? Going up to welterweight, I mean, he fought genuine, you know, contenders there or thereabouts. Safadin, you know, he's a veteran of that weight class, dispatched of him. Magny, also a contender, beat him, and then Lawler, super impressive from RDA.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He's coming for that belt. Then we got the big man, OSP.
OSP.
Very impressive year. I mean, hitting the Von Flew choke that he hit again.
The submissions were amazing this year for OSP.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's looking really good again.
Yeah.
Then we got the big man. It doesn't get much bigger than OSP, but Francis Ngannou has to be in the running.
Yeah, what a year for him, and what a story as well. Coming into MMA for only 4 years, and then
he was homeless 4 years ago.
He was homeless, man.
Wow.
What a story, yeah.
Incredible story, man. Incredible man and an incredible punching power. And it really, like, the way him and Ozdemir, to be fair, the way they burst onto the scene and forced themselves up the food chain and to become number one contender is really remarkable. They've blown everyone away.
Yeah, knocking people out, man.
That's right.
Robert Whittaker, I mean, again, he's just risen up, man. So well.
Yeah.
Just gets better every fight, you know, and another thing I like about him, he's so humble and just hardworking. Yeah. And just really impressive. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think for me, he beat the two best middleweights at the moment, you know, Souza.
Definitely.
And Romero, you know.
Unbelievable. I did not give him a chance against Jacare.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way he outfought him and just outsmarted him and just stayed on the outside.
He brought the perfect game to both of those fights.
Both of them, yeah.
Didn't make a mistake, you know, he was so good.
I mean, Whittaker picking up the title as well was just awesome, you know? It's like such a big moment for him. Someone from Australia, right?
Yeah.
Just coming from...
You know, he was a real underdog in those fights and he just rose up to it and just did the performance of his life in both fights, you know? I was really happy for him, mate.
Bisping wanted nothing of him.
Yeah, yeah. Bisping was staying clear of that, you know?
Next, we got the current... would you call him the lightweight champion or would you call him the interim lightweight champion? But we've got Tony Ferguson. Another great year for Tony.
He's been amazing. He's still at the top of his game and getting better every time. He's so confident and, you know, he's just beating the best of the best out there.
He's unreal, man. His stamina, his work ethic in the cage is just unreal.
Yeah.
And he just makes people fight from the first second.
Yeah.
It's like so entertaining to watch. He is a great character as well. He can be a bit up his own arse at times. But he's been really impressive. I really enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, he's a very quirky character, right? He looks like he'd be a strange one to have a conversation in a pub with. But his performances have been so consistently brilliant for a while now. And winning the belt was a real special moment. So it was nice to see because he did it the hard way, and nothing was ever given to him for sure.
Yeah, man, he's not bitched or moaned about who he's gonna fight. You know, he's just fought whoever they chucked at him. You know, Khabib pulled out that time, so you know he had to fight.
Kevin Lee, man.
Yeah, so Kevin Lee filled in, and he didn't have any complaints. You know, he just took it on, and that was a great fight. But we'll talk about it later. Next person, we got Max Holloway.
Yeah,
another champion. The Hawaiian, just doing his country proud. You know, beating Aldo twice.
Mm-hmm.
Just insane. And you know, since Conor's left that division, he's really put a stamp on it, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
A great guy.
Yeah,
as well.
he cemented himself as the best in that weight class, no questions asked, didn't he? And he's extended his win streak, which is just really impressive. So, you know, he's every year. And the thing is, it looks like he's still got room for improvement. Like, he's still going to get better.
Definitely.
Because
yeah.
He's every fight, he improves so much. Like, and his confidence levels are through the roof at the minute.
Yeah.
So he looks like he's going to keep tearing through men's.
Definitely, man. He's still a young guy. He's got lots left in him. You can see it. You know, he's a hungry fighter. He's not done by a long shot.
And he wants that UFC in Hawaii so bad.
Yeah, these Hawaiian fighters are dangerous, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. And last but not least, the main man, the king, Conor McGregor.
Definitely, yes.
We can't not talk about Conor McGregor.
No, he's done some big stuff this year. You know, set history.
He's done one big thing. That was fight the greatest of all time. Possibly Floyd Mayweather in boxing. I mean, that was such a spectacle, such an event. You know, obviously we would have loved to have seen him fight in the UFC at least one other time. So he's probably not going to win it. But, you know, what that was just such a moment for UFC and MMA in general, you know.
Yeah.
Getting us on the map on prime time, the whole world talking about that fight, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So,
oh, man, I couldn't disagree with you more, man. I mean, how wrong could you possibly be in one sentence?
What?
I mean, the Conor McGregor fight, obviously, it's worth talking about. But to say he's like, to even mention him as like the fighter of the year for the UFC, for MMA, is like, he's probably the worst thing that has happened to the UFC last year. And as for the greatest of all time, Floyd Mayweather... Mate, it couldn't be further from the truth. Greatest defensive boxer of all time. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I said arguably.
Greatest fighter of all time. And the motherfucker would never even fight, man. So, no, I'm not having that.
Yeah, I did say arguably the greatest of all time. I did correct myself. But just the fact that he got that fight, that is just so insane. that someone from the UFC got on that level of
only McGregor could have made that happen.
Yeah, and for,
he made
for me,
it happen fast as well.
And that's Mayweather tipping his hat. I mean, Mayweather needed him as much as he needed Mayweather.
Yeah.
But it's like, just the fact that he got that, for me, just he deserves a mention, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was impressive. But it was just like a cash-making thing that just, we were all going along on this, like, this manipulative ride where two mans were going to make a shitload of money. Whatever, man.
But come on, how much headlines did it make? Like, how much was everyone talking about one thing for such a long time? You know, those months leading up to it.
Yeah.
Nothing else compared to that media.
It was good fun, man. Yeah. It was good fun.
The build-up was amazing as well. The banter before the fights.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And it's inspiring to the other fighters to know that could happen.
Yeah.
You know, people can have these super fights in other sports, you know, whatever it will be. So
yeah.
I just thought it was awesome, man. But yeah, fair enough. I see your point.
I don't know if I want to see too many more crossovers. I don't know if I want to see too many MMA fighters boxing. I'd rather just see them fight MMA, yeah.
It's quite, in a way, it's disruptive to the sport because it puts everything on hold, especially when you're the champion. And it just slows everything down, doesn't it? Like,
it's been annoying, man. I think I found it more annoying than anything else. Did I get like caught up in the hype and stuff? Yeah, of course I did. Did I want to watch the fight? Yeah, of course I did. Did some of me enjoy the fight? Yeah, I did. I'm not saying I was immune to it or it was complete shit. But when it was all said and done, man, it caused more like shit and damage than it did fun.
Yeah.
So I just like, fuck it, man.
And we did lose Conor for most of the year, sadly, so...
He didn't fight. He never fought for the UFC last year.
Yeah. Well, I'm still counting it, alright?
Yeah, man. I still think it's good to me.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Who are we picking? Who's your male fighter of the year?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good choices, like you just said, man. I'm not going to go over and analyse all of them again, so I'm just going to say that... Just because of the way he's gone about it and from being completely unknown to anyone in the world to being on the verge of superstardom, I'm going to have to go with my boy, Ngannou.
Wow.
He would have to be my fighter of 2017. His fights have been so impressive, knocking out Overeem in the most insane way last time up, and the way he knocked out Arlovski, who was really the first time he'd stepped up in competition, and he just dispatched both of them with brutal KOs in the first round.
Cool, man.
I'm going to say one that's going to piss you off, Eric. I'm going to go with Conor McGregor for what he did with Floyd Mayweather.
That's ridiculous.
I am, because it's the spectacle in itself, and I like a good spectacle, and I've really enjoyed all the banter and all the build-up and everything. For me, that was a historical moment. You know, I was close to picking DJ as well for making history as well this year. I thought that was a close contender for me, him becoming the pound-for-pound best fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Conor McGregor, I just think the influence was too much for me, so I'm picking him.
He didn't even fight in the UFC, that's crazy.
Yeah, but he changed to another sport.
Look,
and did that.
This is a mixed martial arts podcast, Eric, yeah? There was
which boxing is nothing to do with.
Yeah, well, it's still a fucking fight.
It was a representation. It's what it represented.
It was a mixture, wasn't it? It was a mixture of things.
It was a bit of everything, come on.
It certainly had big ramifications and future legacies. I will give you that. It was historical.
The award is for the fighter, isn't it? He's a fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best fighter of the year. Yeah. Okay. He lost.
I know.
He lost quite comfortably, but anyway.
I mean, that's another thing with McGregor. Like, he actually started his own... I mean, to be fair, it was a joint promotion, but he started his own promotion.
Yeah.
You know, that in future he could potentially host fights, you know, on his own. He's so big, so...
Yeah,
it was massive, man.
He lost and he still made, like, 100 million, so...
Yeah.
Come on. He's not losing there, is he?
Oh, man. Wish he could have given up some of that. Like.
All right, Alan, what about you?
Fucking hell. So, yeah, it's a tough one, but I've gone for Robert Whittaker.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. I feel like he had the hardest competition.
Yeah.
And really impressed me. just I didn't think he would get through.
Yeah, he really stepped up.
Romero and Jacare is just insane. Yeah. So yeah, I've been really impressed with him. Really sad that he got injured later in the year, and really looking forward to him coming back.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good choice, man.
All right. So now, boys, we're going to get into the big one. The most entertaining award you can give. The most blood, sweat and tears award that you can win. The fight of the year, boys. It's the big one.
There's lots of contenders out for this one. Lots of fucking juicy fights out there.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to narrow down a list for this, wasn't it? Like, with all the choices. But we've come to some kind of agreement. Let's see if we can match up maybe on a few of these picks.
Okay.
First one I want to talk about that springs to mind, Justin Gaethje versus Michael Johnson.
Big fight.
I mean, you talk about an absolute war. These two just did not take a back step. I mean, Gaethje especially, like, pressed the fight. And Johnson just showed so much heart and... like, was on the brink of death about three or four times, it felt like. And just suddenly woke up and then put Gaethje, like, on the back foot. And it was just back and forth, both of them pouring with blood. And an awesome finish by Gaethje, like, it's just amazing.
That was an all-out war from start to finish. Like, straight away, they just went into it like Rock'em Sock'em Robots or something.
Like, like, Johnson was coming off a loss, so it was kind of like he had to, like, win that one. But
Gaethje Terminator keeps on coming for you.
Yeah.
That was an insane fight. Easily one of the best debuts up along with Anderson Silva in the UFC history. Justin Gaethje came in guns a-blazing, absolute fireworks. And Johnson, man, he clocked it with some vicious uppercuts, and you just saw the legs slightly give out in Gaethje. And then 4 seconds later, he was coming right back at him. Terminators are brilliant, isn't it? That was an insane fight.
Yeah. What really got me about that fight, though, was the ending. Like, similar to Rory McDonald versus Robbie Lawler, the second fight, where he just, like, crumbled because he just couldn't take anymore. You know, he broke his nose in that fight. I know it was a little bit different. But the way Johnson just went down, like, you know, he was just out. He was done. Like,
he gave everything he had.
And you fully understood where he was coming from as well. You know, it wasn't like he couldn't fight anymore. Well, he just couldn't fight anymore.
No. And it was nuts, man, because he actually stopped him, like, halfway through the second round. So it wasn't even that long a fight, but it was so jam-packed. It was mindless. Like, it was constant, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That was crazy. Crazy fight.
Johnson just is always in good fights, isn't he? Like,
yeah. And Gaethje as well.
Another one I want to talk about, TJ Dillashaw winning the title. Mm-hmm. I mean... that was, obviously we had all the smack talk leading up to it. Some of that was just shocking and embarrassing. But the actual fight itself had just so many back and forth moments. Cody looked sharp at the beginning, knocked down TJ.
Yeah,
TJ came back and he got on his game and he found the range and eventually caught him with the right hook that just put his lights out. And it was awesome when he actually knocked him out and it was like the ref pulled him off. He was celebrating. Cody gets up and he's just not with it, and TJ just screamed in his face, like, fucking have some of that.
Yeah, mate. Oh, that was crazy. I mean, definitely for me, that was like the biggest rival all year. You know, of all the rivalries, there were other ones like DC and Jones, which was pretty big as well. But for me, this one was more personal.
The history.
It was really deep, this one.
Training partners.
Training camps where they were coming from. They used to be teammates and split up, all of that kind of stuff.
All the talk of the KO injury just delivered, I thought. And, you know, on any other night, it could go a different way. Like, I just thought it really lived up to it, you know.
Yeah. For me, it was just so impressive the way TJ came back after that first round, man. You know, he really got rocked, and I really thought Cody was going to beat him that fight because he looked unstoppable up until that point. But the way TJ changed his game plan and came back was epic.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it had, like you say, the biggest of backstories. I mean, it's absolutely epic. Hollywood stuff, that rivalry, and the way leading up to the fight, and then the fight was amazing. I thought TJ was done. He was so close to getting put away. Cody was maybe 8 or 10 seconds away. Mm. If that round had lasted 8 seconds more, PJ would have been absolute sparker, and he just turned out, managed to stumble back to his corner to then come out and knock out Cody. And like, yeah, just epic, you know?
Yeah, man. Stand out to me. Yeah, any ones you guys want to mention then?
For me, really, really good ones. Whittaker versus Romero.
Yeah.
That was an epic battle. Just from start to finish, I thought Whittaker put on the perfect performance. And he also just perfect game plan. And it was fun because Romero was on top of him. He was the favourite, I thought, in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
But Whittaker just, you know, you'd love to see an underdog win a fight. And that was the ultimate underdog fight for me. You know, he really came back, kept on his feet, even though he had a leg injury on that one.
Yeah,
I love to see good boxing, man. That was a good fight.
Yeah,
great fight to watch. And it went the distance, so it was a lot to watch as well. It was a meaty fight. What did you guys think of that?
I echo everything you just said. It was massive, both beating Jacare, and you know, we were waiting for Bisping to come back, and he just lived up to it. And you know, potentially we could see that soon enough in the future as well. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, so my other fight that I wanted to choose, Travis Brown versus Derek Lewis, the Black Beast. Now, I'm a huge Black Beast fan. I think everyone is, but I especially am, man. I think, you know, he's just, since he's been in UFC, he's just added so much character to the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
And this fight was one of the ones that really put him on the map as well, I think. You know, that whole thing where he took that body blow and then he started holding his stomach in the fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, like he'd clearly, like, broken a rib or something.
It looked like it, yeah.
But his excuses were fucking hilarious after that. He's saying that he needed to take a shit or something.
Yeah, it just kicked in. And he just thought he was going to shit himself. Like, that's what he said.
Anyway, hilarious guy, man. It was good banter.
It's even better what he said after, man. It's even better what he said.
Oh, yeah. His shout out to our dear Ronda Rousey.
That's it, man. He was saying Travis Brown was a wife here. And he was like, where's Ronda's fine ass at?
Oh, man, see, that's what I mean. It's just sheer banter with Derek Lewis and everything he says, all his tweets, the shit he uploads onto social media is hilarious.
Yeah.
But that fight, man, it was fucking great. Beast on beast action, man. It was all over the place, man.
That fight was really good. Like,
yeah.
Travis Brown, they were swinging, and they're big, big guys, man, and you were just on the edge, like, of your seat, because they could knock each other out any minute.
You know.
And you thought, like, Black Beast was in trouble, Derek Lewis, like, he was in serious trouble. And then he just clocks him right on the jaw and he stumbles over, jumps on top of him, and just grounds and pounds his head through the fucking mat.
Yeah.
Not even finished.
You just know you're going to get a knockout in a fight like that. There's guarantees. There's no way there won't be.
The celebration as well is awesome. The Beast, when he goes on the ground, like, fucking Randy Orton or whatever.
It's hilarious. That guy is just funny from start to finish, man. There's not a dull moment with him. Cool.
Yeah, it was good. Just a few that I'd like to throw in there. Back in the Brooklyn card in February, we had Dustin Poirier. This is Jim Miller, and that was a real war, man. They really threw down. Both fighters gave absolutely everything in that fight. It was a big, big victory for Dustin Poirier. It was kind of his welcome to the contenders of the lightweight division. Like, if you can get past the gatekeeper, Jim Miller, we know you're worth it.
You're gonna have to beat the shit out of him to get past that gate.
Yeah, for real, Jim Miller. Like, we crack up about him being a gatekeeper. He's the best in the business. He's the best.
He
threw it down. So Dustin Poirier had to give him a whipping to win that 3-round decision.
Yeah, man.
Then we had a couple of entries from a cult hero here, man. A fan favorite, Lando Venata.
Lando.
So, first in mind, she lost my boy Dana Taylor 1. That was an incredible fight, man. It was real high level striking. They were basically just booing each other all over the octagon. That was an awesome fight.
Mm.
And then he drew with Bobby Green in UFC 216. That was quite recent. And that was another hell of a fight, man. I'm a big Bobby Green fan as well, man. That guy's going places. And he didn't back down, him and Lando Venato. I think a lot of technique went out the window and they just sort of gripped down on the mouthpiece and went at it.
Yeah, that was fight of the night before it even happened, like, with those two.
Yeah, like, that was more like a street fight than an
octagon
fight, but that's not a bad thing, man.
they're never in boring fights, those two. That was awesome, yeah.
For sure. Cowboy Oliveira versus Yankee Medeiros. Those two had the definition of a back and forth. Round one, Yancy Medeiros put Cowboy Oliveira on his ass, man. He was coming out with the unbelievable combinations. Cowboy Oliveira was throwing back. In the second round, I thought Oliveira was going to stop Yancy, and he was on wobbly legs. It was going to the ground, back to the feet, to the cage, open up striking. And then in the third round, in the most like brutal ways, Yancy Medeiros just shut Oliveira's lights out, man. And it was just an incredible back and forth war, and really highlight striking to boot.
Yeah, man, the Cowboy is always in a great fight, and Medeiros brings it every time as well. That was a really entertaining fight. It doesn't get that much credit because it was kind of buried down the card, but awesome, awesome fight.
Yeah, no, I loved that fight. It was like watching a movie or something, man. It was really dramatic and just back and forth, man. It went through the motions, up and down, everywhere, man, and really skillful as well. So credit to Cowboy. I think he's an amazing fighter, and all his fights are pretty crazy like that. So, I
mean, he's defending his ranch, man.
Yeah, he's a real cowboy, man.
So yeah, so like some great fights there to choose from. A few honourable mentions I want to shout out. Weidman Gastelum I thought was a great fight. I really thought Gastelum would walk over Weidman.
Yeah.
But Weidman had his back to the wall. I think it was in New York.
Gastelum brings it every time,
yeah,
man.
But Weidman like rose up and got that win that he really fucking needed.
Yeah,
so
he did.
That was awesome to stop Gastelum.
He could have been out of the UFC if he'd lost that fight, Weidman.
Yeah, I mean, New York would have kicked him out of New York if he lost that one. Fucking.
Gastelum's got to be a fan of the Three Amigos, man. That is a taco eating motherfucker. Right.
Ray Longo would have sent him home.
Like, oh, man. He's welcome around my house anytime. It's cool.
Bring out the enchiladas.
Oh, man, we're going to have a Mexican fiesta.
A wide man burrito coming up. So, yeah, great fight. And we mentioned Poirier Miller earlier, but I want to mention Poirier Pettis.
Yeah.
Anthony Pettis.
Yeah,
really stepped up.
Yep.
Again, I thought Anthony Pettis was done at that point, and he still did lose the fight. It looked like it was kind of a rib injury.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Poirier is just looking so strong at the moment. So that was such a fun fight, just rolling around covered in blood, like, you know, blood and guts war.
Yeah, man. Big fight.
For sure. We haven't given out a lot of love to Dustin Poirier at these awards so far. Those were two fantastic performances. He had a good year.
Ever since Conor knocked him out, he has just turned the switch on. And one of the biggest fights I'm looking forward to this year is him versus Gaethje. Like, we know that's going to be an absolute war.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are a few fights. And so who's your pick? Leo, I'm putting you on the spot.
My actual pick overall, okay, there's a lot of good fights there. Well, I will have to go with Gaethje versus Johnson because that just had it all for me. And I think, you know, it came to mind first when you said fights earlier.
I want to watch it right now.
So, yeah, that's the fight for me.
Yeah, I second that. That's the one that stands out for me. Just so much drama. So many times I thought it was over and it just kept going on. Like, just absolutely amazing. So, yeah, that's mine too. Eric?
Cool, yeah, that was an unbelievably sick fight. But I'm going to give a little love to some of these fights that you see on the prelims that they don't always get the coverage that the main cards do. And sometimes you see the best fights in there. And for me, the best fight in 2017 was Yancy Medeiros and Cowboy Oliveira. And they get the edge because they gave you 2.5 rounds of the most incredible entertainment. They just went on a bit longer, you know?
Yeah.
And they both hit the ground, do you know what I mean? They both looked like they were going to be finished. And, that was my favourite fight of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it shows how good these fights were, that they weren't even that long.
When it's just action-packed like that, it doesn't matter, man. You just want to see them go through it all.
Yeah. A minute of those fights, like, just felt like a round, like, you know.
Yeah, but sometimes a round feels like five,
you know, when
it's really heavy.
It does, yeah. It was sick.
And sometimes a five-round fight feels like a day.
Yes. How long have I been watching this fight for, then?
Yeah.
Rory McDonald, I still feel like he's in there with Robbie Lawler.
Oh, mate, yeah, that's still running through my head every day. I wake up and see Robbie Lawler's face.
When you come home pissed and you look in the mirror, you see fucking Rory McDonald looking back at you.
Yeah, crushing down to the mat with a broken nose, blood gushing everywhere.
Oh, man.
It's not a good way to start your day, man.
No. I mean, but we wish good health to all these fighters, you know, and can't wait to see them all back in the cage again, like, yeah, this year, so awesome stuff.
You know, we love them all, man. They've given us their entertainment, man. Quality MMA.
So, next award is the Knockout of the Year. Always one of the most fun categories to choose from.
Yeah.
And so many options to pick from in this, boys.
So many, man.
I mean, straight away, like, we've got Stipe knocking out Dos Santos early in the year.
Yeah, Stipe's just been on a tear, destroying everyone.
That was unreal.
Yeah.
We've got Ngannou knocking out Overeem.
Unbelievable. That one against Alistair Overeem, that was like a video game, man. That was like an uppercut shuriken. That was something else, man.
He looked like a Pez dispenser when he hit him on the jaw and his neck just opened up.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I've never seen anyone's head fly that far backwards.
It damn near nearly took his head off, man. Yeah, that was, man. The uppercut from hell.
Yeah.
Brutal. Then we got Edson Barbosa's jumping knee on a Dariush. That was just a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Just like the point of his knee just hit him bang on the jaw. Put his leg back down and the guy was just out, man.
Yeah, that was pure awesome. Skill, that was. Yeah.
The perfect connection underneath.
Insane. The timing on it was just like, we waited for him to shoot in and just caught him. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
We've obviously got Rose Namajunas. What more can we say about that? Incredible.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Another big one involving Overeem, but this time on the winning side against Mark Hunt. Amazing.
That was devastating. That knee absolutely flattened Mark Hunt, which never happens. He actually face planted. He hit him so fucking hard on the top of the head.
Yeah, that fight was like a movie. It was like King Kong versus Godzilla or something. Mm. You know, he just beat him down with his knee. That's crazy.
Then we got our boy Diakisi, back in London when he knocked out Pakalan. Just unreal. Was it a right hand? And just fucking the boy Pakalan fell down like a tree in slow motion. It was fucking beautiful. So happy for Diakisi. That was awesome.
That was an explosive a punch as you'll ever see. It was a sweet connection as well.
Yeah, man. Then we've got Al Iaquinta versus Diego Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, I kind of felt sorry for Diego Sanchez, innit? Like, he shouldn't have really been in the octagon with Iaquinta. He's taken a lot of punishment in his life. But that was probably the worst knockout Diego Sanchez has suffered, man. Iaquinta just uncorked on him.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll agree with that, but I'll raise you on Diego being knocked out because Matt Brown hit him with an immortal elbow.
Oh my God.
That blew me away.
That's one of the best elbows I've ever seen, man.
That was just unreal.
Vicious. You know, a Matt Brown knockout, so it was good, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I did not get tired seeing replays of that. I felt bad for Diego, man. He fell down like he was taking a shit. Like, it was fucking awesome. The lights were just out and he was just down in the crouch position. Like, fucking hell, man.
Yeah, great knockout.
Yeah. Also, speaking of elbows, Platinum Mike Perry, man. His elbow KO on Jake Ellenberger was nasty.
That was mean.
I love the way he celebrated it after, man, with blood pouring on his face and he was just screaming out to the crowd. That was a sick KO.
Yeah, man, he's one of those sick fucks that just enjoys it, innit? Jones DC. I mean, you can't deny it.
That was it earlier, but yeah, that was a great fight.
Knocking out DC, I think, the first time in his career.
Yeah, he was all over him with the leg kick and then the head kick knockout. It was a beautiful knockout.
Yeah, it was a brutal barrage of attacks, like, fuck, you know. Yeah. No wonder he was crying.
That was good. How about Thiago Santos and his spinning wheel kick on Marshman?
Beautiful.
That KO was nasty.
Beautiful, beautiful.
There's nothing better than a spinning heel kick knockout, you know.
Yeah.
They're like the best, I think.
They are. They're up there. Gotta be. That's an A-class move there.
You just found the right range and just span, and the heel of his foot just took him out. It was fucking beautiful.
And he's not like a small weight. He's a fucking huge weight. To be doing that, it just looked so fucking violent, isn't it? Like a big man pulling that off.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
Swedish boy from Europe, Alexander Gustafsson versus Glover Teixeira.
Oh, that was a good knockout.
That was a boxing lesson.
How many uppercuts was that?
I don't even want to know. I think it was like 3 or 4 unanswered.
Three in a row, man.
Fucking hell. Never seen anything like that before.
It was like...
so technical, isn't it? High level shit.
Yeah. Take nothing away, you know, from Teixeira. That was just beautiful.
And that's top competition as well, you know. It's no, like, low-down ranked fighter. This is Teixeira here we're talking about,
Teixeira was doing well before that as well in previous fights. So, yeah, Gustafsson's back, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just a little mention here to Dominic Reyes, who's one to look out for the light heavyweight division. He made his UFC debut back in June, and his first round KO of Christensen was absolute filth. He punched this guy so fucking hard, man, that I heard his nose break. It just looked like he was going to punch his head through the cage. Shoot. That guy's got some serious power. He's one to watch, and that KO was absolute filth.
One to look out for.
A few more contenders, obviously GSP coming back, knocking out Bisping.
Yeah.
Take nothing away from that. That was awesome. We've got Alvarez, his knee from hell on Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, that was a great fight and a great finish at the end.
And it took something like that to stop Gaethje, because he's a fucking zombie.
Gaethje's like the Terminator or something.
Yeah.
In it, man, that's the only way you can stop him. Something as fucking filthy as that.
Yeah. Brutal. Any kind of knee knockout is always great to watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you love it, but you cringe at the same time.
Oh, yeah, because it's so brutal. It's like the strongest part of you knocking them out.
Yeah.
Talking about a knee KO, we got Moraes with the dab KO on Jermaine Sterling. We left him in a heap doing the dab position.
Yeah.
Unreal, man. That was awesome. Awesome, like, and he celebrated with a dab in it, like in his previous fight, Aljamain.
Oh, that backfired on him.
Talk about karma.
Yeah, like,
that was fucking hilarious, man. Another one, just Uzdemir knocking out Jimmy Manoa.
Yeah,
that was impressive.
That was impressive.
Knocked him stiff in the first round. Fucking awesome. So loads of contenders. Loads. I'm sure there's loads.
What
more.
About Till versus Cerrone?
Oh,
what a knockout that was, especially for us Brits. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And also for me, the Holly Holm knockout, the way she dispatched the Betch Kohea with that brutal head kick and then followed up with that punch when she was on the floor. That was a spectacular KO.
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the best women's knockouts of the year, for sure.
Okay, so we got to choose one out of these, boys.
Okay.
I am going to go for... Eddie Alvarez versus Justin Gaethje.
Yep, you're going with the knee.
I was just so happy for Eddie. I'm biased to Eddie. I think he's just like a great guy, like generally. Like, he's worked so hard, you know, the underground king, getting in the UFC. And he'd been on a bit of a losing streak since losing to Conor. So I was so happy for him. And to beat someone like Gaethje, who just looked so amazing versus Michael Johnson, brought it that whole fight, you know, against Alvarez, was probably winning, and Alvarez just stepped it up and caught him with a knee out of nowhere, and again he just collapsed.
Yeah.
For me, that was the one that I loved the most.
Cool. All right, for me it was Ngannou versus Overy.
Wow, yeah,
that was just such a big knockout, and I'll never forget that knockout as long as I kind of live. Now I'll always visualize that as a big knockout, so for me that's the one.
Definitely.
It's so hard to go against that because you just don't see people doing that kind of shit, man. It looked like he took him off his feet.
Yeah.
And Overeem's a massive brayer, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, Overeem's... he's known for his stand-up fighting as well. He's an elite kickboxer who trains in Thailand all the time.
And Ngannou just came in, you know, and knocked the hell out of him. Absolutely knocked him out cold. He was out on the floor for minutes afterwards, you know.
It was just sensational. But I'm always one to go a little bit more for technique. And for that reason, I will cast my vote for fellow European and Gustafsson. Because the technique, I mean, the whole fight, he was spectacular for a start. He really took it to Glover Teixeira and made him look pretty ordinary. And then the way, the cockiness to finish him off with three uppercuts in a row. And when Glover hit the floor, it wasn't the way Overeem hit the floor where it looked like he'd been fucking teleported to hell. But the way Glover hit the floor, it was just like he had nothing. Like he was completely done. And technique over brawn for me. So I'm going to go with Gustafsson.
Yeah, man. No complaints from me, man. Like, some great picks there.
It's a great knockout. Yep.
For me, I just think Overeem does have a bad jaw. That's why I didn't pick that one. Otherwise, I would have. But Overeem is known for having a bad jaw these days. And he has been knocked out a few times. So,
that's a fair criticism. That's true.
Take nothing away from him. Ngannou, that was amazing. Submission of the year. Another great category. It's probably only one winner for this, but we're going to go through some honourable mentions. We got, of course, from the top, it's DJ's German suplex into a submission. That was just unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, that just blew me away at the time. That was one of them moments where you just jump out of your seat and go, wow.
Like, yeah, that was just sheer class. And the timing of it when he did it towards the end of the fight, after battling for a long time.
You thought it was on its way to a decision, didn't you?
Yeah, and it was like a flying transition, you know. We'd never seen anything like that. You know, it was like a slam into an armbar, and it just was picture perfect, man. It was sheer skill.
Yeah, absolute classic.
Proper Matrix ninja shit, man. Like, there's some things that you say look like a computer game, and there's some things that look even more unreal. A computer game wouldn't even be able to create what he did. Next level shit.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah,
unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Speechless.
Yeah, let's pack it. Let's pack it in then.
Let's pack it.
We're done, mate. We're done. That's it.
All right, we've got to show a bit of love to a few other guys. OSP we mentioned with the Von Flu chokes.
Yeah.
Just.
On a carry, isn't it? That was impressive.
Just amazing stuff. We had Shevchenko, the armbar on a Juliana Penna.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I was a big fan of that submission. I was a very big fan. That was huge. That was right at the start of the year. And Juliana Pena was just completely out-wrestling her. And Shevchenko was hanging in there, but Pena was having her way with her up against the cage, took her down. And then out of nowhere, Shevchenko reversed her into a filthy armbar. And it was a sick finish. And that actually gave her a title shot.
Yeah, man.
Amazing. Yeah, really good.
We had the boa constrictor with that amazing submission from the guard. He was on his back. It was basically a rear naked choke from the front.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
No, people aren't supposed to bend like that, man. That was insane. You know, he is a real snake. He's all over these guys on the floor.
Mm.
Yeah, it was scary to look at that, innit? You were just like, what the fuck is he doing? I don't know, it's like taking his soul away from him.
Yeah, man.
Shao Kahn.
That was a fatality right there.
Oh, so like, he was giving him a little hug and then suddenly he was tapping. It was unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Love watching him fight. Like, he's always one to watch. Gunnar Nelson.
Yeah, submission kick. Anyways, love watching him fight. Love watching his submissions, man. And the way he dispatched in the first round, I believe, of Alan Joban, who was on a sick little run himself, and he quietened him quickly and choked him out. It was, it was really impressive.
Yeah, man. Love Gunnar. It was a great fight. We had Brian Ortega on Cub Swanson. Quite a bit recent, this one, wasn't it? Later in the year.
Yeah, great.
The guillotine choke, like standing guillotine on Cub. That's fucking impressive.
Yeah, that was tight, man. That was
really
good choke, man. Very impressive.
This is the only submission that I think genuinely gets close to the Mighty Mouse one. It was insane, man. He readjusted his grip mid-choke as he's in the air. It's what Cub Swanson's standing. And Ortega readjusted his grip, and he jumped on him to begin with. So razor fast. Like, his submission skills are seriously next level. He is breathtaking. TCE, man. Brian Ortega, that submission was unreal.
Definitely. Another honourable mention I want to bring up is an English lad, Jono Mears. Does that name ring a bell? Well, it should
Jono Mears, nah.
The boy who hit someone with the Walls of Jericho, the Boston Crab.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. I mean, that was just awesome. For me, like, used to be like a big wrestling fan, like seeing that.
Yeah, for someone to actually pull that off is
absolutely crazy. Legend for pulling that off. That was just amazing. I love watching that. But
mate, that the guy who tapped out to the Walls of Jericho, man, he didn't look at his wife in the face for a month.
But obviously DJ gets the award this year.
It's gotta be DJ. Come on, you can't be
phenomenal.
That was the best move of the year.
Agreed?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Demetrius Johnson, man. That was sick.
Okay, so next award, Rising Star of the Year. Lots of good up-and-comers last year, lots of breakout performances. We've already mentioned a few. Tough category to choose. Our boy, Darren Till.
Till, man. What a star, especially for Britain. You know, I think he was really fun and exciting this year.
Yeah.
He's coming in fast and strong. Hopefully 2018 is going to be his year as well.
Yeah, really stepped it up, fought multiple times, and did not disappoint, didn't let us down. And
no, really defeating someone like Cerrone, that was a real step up, and it was on short notice as well, and he demolished Cerrone.
Yeah.
It was a great fight.
That was class, and not to make too many like naff comparisons, but there's a touch of Conor McGregor about this guy, and I mean it in the sense that the way he carries himself and the aura that he has.
Sure.
And also the way when he strikes very differently. He's not like your standard kind of Muay Thai stance MMA cage fighter. The way he strikes is really technical. Not in the same way as Conor McGregor, but in similar to the fact that it's different, it stands out. I think he's going to rise right to the top, man. He had a solid year, and he's on the way up for sure.
I believe he's the best fighter in the world.
Hey, listen, I have a light heavyweight fighting at welterweight. Shouldn't be allowed.
He's a legend, man. He's just fucking giving us so much content. He's going to give us so much more content over the years.
He's quality. I'll fucking fight Mike Perry. Where's Mike Perry? I'll fucking fight him now.
You pulled out of the fight.
Oh. You're a lightweight, mate. Lightweight.
Fuck. Yeah, Darren Till. Next one, Robert Whittaker. We've spoke about a lot already.
Yeah.
Definitely a rising star, you know, he's improved a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got our girl Rose Namajunas, really just like stepped it up this year.
Yeah, she rose to the top this year. She got that belt off the best, JJ.
Yeah, I will say with the Whittaker, he didn't come out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Like, he started the year in a really good position. Everybody knew how good he was.
Sure.
Obviously, we said the performance was sensational, but I don't know about Rising Star. And Rose Namajunas, this was the second time she'd fought for the belt, which is why I wouldn't give Rising Star to those two. That's just my two cents on the matter.
Yeah, for me, they're both contenders, but they're not winning it. But yeah.
Well, they're champions, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're champions as well. You can't not talk about them.
Yeah.
But Rose is still young, you know, and for me, I wouldn't pick her because she's not... You know what I mean? She's not coming up. She's been around a little while. Yeah. And she's kind of got her groove back.
Yeah.
Precisely. That's what I agree.
Absolutely.
But
there's only one main one that's got to be, though, right?
There's a couple more.
Yeah. I don't know. For me,
let me say one more before you say your one.
You go for your one.
Justin Gaethje.
Yeah. Good for that.
You know, just... He's just so fun to watch. I think he's going to be a real force in the lightweight division.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to think twice about signing the contract when they see his name pop up in the mail.
Yeah. It's been a fantastic year for him. I mean, great performances in his fights.
Mm.
And he's become a real character. He's done Ultimate Fighter and presented himself and done well and backed it up with a great fight at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he might have been beating Alvarez before he lost.
Yeah.
And obviously the fight against Michael Johnson was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he burst on the scene hard, didn't he? He's a fun fighter to watch. And yeah, like you said, man, he'll be a nightmare. Nobody will actually want
to
fight him.
Yeah, and one more before we get to the big man. But I wanted to just shout out Cynthia Calvillo. I thought she had a great year. Obviously lost against Carla Esparza later in the year, but she looks like a real gem in the women's division and one to watch for the future.
Yeah.
Great prospect. Strong prospect.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's still two more, man. There's still two more important ones. Özdemir.
Özdemir.
He started this year as an absolute fucking nobody, man.
Of course.
And now he's getting a title shot. I mean, what an incredible year. You cannot ignore the man.
Yeah, man.
It's a rising star right there. Rising from literally the unknown. And then we just touched upon him before, TC, man, Ortega. There's a rising star, man. He's had two really impressive submission victories in 2017, and he's put himself right there as the number one or number two contender. And I expect him to carry on improving. We all know how awesome his submission game is, but his striking is getting better and better in every fight, and he's got a promising future, I feel.
Another one, our boy Diakisi. He's looking really good. Needs a bit of work. He's a bit rough around the edges, but he's definitely one to watch.
Exciting fighter.
Bit of a prospect. Bit more of a prospect, I'd say, but definitely exciting potential.
So
the ultimate, and you know, it's got to be the rising star of the year. It's got to be Francis Ngannou, right?
Wow, it's hard to argue against this one.
Yeah, come on. In terms of a big name and someone that everyone wants to see at the moment, it's got to be Francis.
4 years ago, he was homeless
in
Paris. I mean, he's just incredible. Such an inspiration. So fun to watch. And he's wiped the floor with every man he's got in the cage with.
Yeah, and he's just got a real personality and character to back it all up. He really makes fights and makes a big name for himself.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that as the pick. Ngannou, absolutely amazing. So, yeah, Ngannou for me.
Yeah, hard to argue. I mean, I picked the boy as my fighter of the whole year because it was spectacular what he was doing. And if you're going to base it on future potential, then Ngannou for sure. I think he's probably going to be, you know, contender champion for years to come. He ain't going nowhere. But in terms of just the most spectacular rise in 1 year of MMA fighting, for me, it's Özdemir.
Wow.
Because he literally came out of nowhere and just... He wasn't favourite to win any of the fights he won and knocked mans out left, right and centre and positioned himself for a title shot in 1 year. It's incredible.
And for me, if Gaethje didn't lose to Alvarez, I might have picked Gaethje.
Yeah,
it's a really tough category to pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he had knocked out Alvarez, I probably would have changed my vote.
Yeah, but like we said, Özdemir, it's a tough one, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
But for competition as well, knocking out Arlovski and Overeem, I'll go for Ngannou.
Yeah, with Jimmy Manuwa ain't no bum, know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It still hurts.
but what Ngannou and... Özdemir have done this year. It's really miraculous, man. Really impressive. Walk with
me. So let us know what you think. If you agree or disagree, we'd love to hear from you. And if there's any we missed out, do let us know in the comments below. And stay tuned for episode 2 coming soon. For more podcasts, subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube @ 3amigos MMA. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook.